came at about 4:30. I'm very encouraged, so many of us coming together with children, so thank you. Without further ado, we continue for our Name of God series, and today we have Silas to just bring the word. So can we just welcome Silas? Thank you.
Afternoon. Good to see everyone. Before I start, I think for those of us who were with us just now during the prayer session, I just want to share something, right? As we pray, I felt such a strong spirit presence in this room. And the Lord spoke to me that we all have a struggle in our life. There are different distractions, shortcomings, failing in our life. But today the Lord is inviting all of us to come and join Him on this mandate, the mandate of growing this church. The Lord promised me that, in fact, He spoke so strongly to me and says that despite your brokenness, despite your weakness, if you're willing to commit to walk with me, I'm going to show to you beauty, glory beyond your imagination. You'll mix whatever things that you crave for in your life, maybe finance, power, relationship, fail in comparison to the beauty that the Lord want to show us. So I think it is a privilege whenever we walk with the Lord, and the Lord gives you such a strong mandate to invite you to join Him. And the Lord just want to encourage all of us here is that don't look at our own weaknesses and our shortfall. Fix our eyes on Him. Jump in the joy, His bandwagon, then He's going to show you the glory and the power and the beauty of the Lord. So I thought that was... Sorry, I can't control myself as I was praying there because the presence of the Lord is so strong, right? Amen. That was a good start. Good. We shall continue with the Name of the Lord series. Give me a second. My computer is a bit slow. Okay. We've gone through quite a fair bit of name. I think I started the series, and I started with Jehovah Rohi, if you all remember, right? And then the subsequent speaker go on to talk about Jireh, Rapha, Nissi, Makadesh. And today I'm going to talk about Shalom, which is actually a name that's so common. In fact, amongst all the Jehovah names, this is probably the name that a lot of us are very familiar with. Okay? And in fact, if you go to Israel today, people use it as a greeting. It says in Singapore, right? You meet someone, Jabawe. Oh, how are you? How's your day, right? So in fact, in Israel, people will say Shalom everywhere you go. It means peace. We all know that it's used in commonly when you greet someone, say, peace of God be with you, right? May the wholeness and the well-being and shalom in the Hebrew's word, spell there for you. It's also spelled as shalom, shalem, shalom. I can't pronounce it, but there's a variety of different names that are associated with that. And as I mentioned before, the name Shalom actually carry a common meaning. People talk about peace. The first thing you come to mind, it talk about peace. It talk about harmony. It talk about wholeness. It talk about completeness, prosperity, tranquility. It's almost in a state of Zen, right? Everything is good. Everything is cool. Everything is calm. As I mentioned, even in Israel, people use that as a form of greeting, right? They go and say, hello, goodbye, how are you? Have you eaten? Whatever, okay? And in fact, if you go back to the Bible to Judges 6:23 to verse 24, that was a time when the children of Israel was under attack by the Midianite, okay? Because of their own sin, the enemy attacked them left, right, center. And it was one day, the Lord approached this young man called Gideon. Gideon was thrashing on the ground, and the Lord speaks to him. I say, I'm going to rise you up as a warrior. You shall defeat the enemy. And Gideon at that point, he said, how can that be? The enemy is so strong, I'm a nobody, how can I do all these things, right? And the Lord, in Judges 6:23-24, it says that, then the Lord said to Gideon, peace be with you, shalom be with you, do not fear, you shall not die. So the Lord basically tell Gideon, don't worry, I'm going to send you to the battleground, do whatever they ask you to do, because I'll give you peace, I'll give you comfort, and you shall not die. And because of that, Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, to honor God. And the altar name, guess what? is called the Lord is Shalom, i.e. the Lord is peace. So the name Shalom carries the meaning of peace and comfort. As the Lord has given Gideon a lot of comfort and strength, say that don't worry, go and do what I want you to do. Now you understand, Shalom means peace, means comfort, in a way it means strength. But the beauty of Hebrew's word or any ancient language, for example Chinese, right? Every word actually have a lot of meaning. Unlike English, English is, I think it's kind of modern language. But the ancient language has a lot of beauty behind it. If you study deep into it, even the word Shalom has multiple meaning. And I can't do justice today to introduce to you all the aspects of what Shalom means. But I thought maybe useful, I just want to introduce a few facts to you, what Shalom means, okay? The very first thing that Shalom means in the Bible context is actually good health, okay? If you turn to Genesis chapter 15, verse 15, this was before Abraham became Abraham. So the Lord spoke to Abraham, say, whatever you do, I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to multiply your generation to come. And then Abraham said, cannot. I have no offspring, right? Then the Lord said, don't worry. Whatever I say will come to pass. I want you to give me an offering. So Abraham being Abraham, he listened to the Lord. He do what you have to do. He gave an offering. But somehow during the offering, something messed up. He didn't really do exactly what the Lord asked him to do, right? And the word the Lord come to him, he said, he didn't specifically say because you didn't do that, but he said that your generation to come will go through a few rounds of in and out, captivity, turning against from the Lord, but ultimately I will come and deliver you. And the ultimate promise to Abraham then is that in Genesis 15, 15, God told Abraham then, now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, i.e. when the day Abraham died, he will depart in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. So what God promised to Abraham is that I'm going to give long life. Give you long life, you shall enjoy peace, long life. When the time for you to go back to the Father, time is out, you go. But I'm going to give you long life. And long life means what? Good health. If you don't have good health, you cannot have a long life, right? And if you go further into books of Proverbs, this aspect of long life, health, in every aspect of our life, physical, mental, spiritual, I thought it's quite well encapsulated in the books of Proverbs. Please turn to the Bible, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. Proverbs says here, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands for length of days and long life. Okay? The Proverbs say, the length of day and long life and peace, they will be added unto you. So the word of the Lord says that, don't forget my law. Let your heart keep my commandment. I will give you long life. I will give you peace. And in fact, go to verse 5 to 8, it goes on to elaborate and says that if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, in all your way acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes, i.e. don't be gikyang. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bone. Wonderful, right? The word shalom, peace, is what God promised us. If you keep God's commandment, God is going to give you long life. He'll extend the length of your day. He'll give you long life. He'll give you peace and added unto you. And not only that, you fear the Lord, you depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, okay, physically, and strength to your bone. So this is the promise of what Shalom is all about. So other than the peace that the Lord has promised to us, the Lord says that you keep my commandment, I will give you peace, I will give you long life, I will give you good health. Interesting enough, and Mr. Goh mentioned about all this suicide and all this mental health issue, right? I think in a country like Singapore, unlike some of the less developed countries, people actually struggle with basic physical health, right? And one time, when malaria break out in Africa, thousands of people die because they don't have medical support and all this. Whereas in Singapore, we are quite well taken care of physically most of the time. Our Medicare, our support, the medical service is solid. We have a lot of nurses and people in healthcare here. Credit to all these frontline people, right? But I think one of the biggest problems that breaks Singaporean or some of the advanced economy is actually this mental health issue, right? And All you know that I love to read newspaper. And 2 days ago, I was just reading Straits Times. The senior editor was just making a comment. He actually wrote a long article. He's talking about, what did he say here? He says that anxiety and depression in post-pandemic, after COVID over, anxiety and depression is going to cost Singapore economy 2.9% of our gross GDP. And you know what's 2.9% of gross GDP? Take a guess. It's mighty SGD 16 billion. Anxiety and depression is costing the economy $16 billion. In fact, the writer go on to elaborate that this is just what has been reported medically. People seek medical help, counseling. If you scrape further below the surface, there are many of these people who have not sought any help and suffering in silence. So in fact, the $16 billion cost to the economy and the productivities and all this is an understated number. And this is the kind of challenges that an advanced economy like Singapore we're all struggling with. And effectively, what happened is that in the absence of all this, you probably can understand why people have depression, right? Because there's no peace in their lives. That's why they're depressed. Right? So all kinds of issues. The young kids will struggle with relationship issue, bully in school, or try to lift up to all what they see in YouTube, in whatever, Instagram, everybody living a high life. I have my daughter showing me her classmate, well, travel first class, private jet, yacht. I mean, even the young kids are feel depressed. Not that we are not good enough, but you're always comparing with someone, right? And then the adult will perpetually live under this pressure. I need to upgrade. I need to buy a bigger car and all this. And where does the peace is going to come from? And the word of the Lord says that if you're not careful, this thing is going to eat you up. And the encouragement is that stay close to God. Do not forget my law and let your heart keep my commands. And the length of days and the peace of God will be added unto you. And that's something that I think a lot of us, if we're not careful, you'll get dragged away and you don't understand the importance of peace in our life. And I have the good fortune, last week, I was at the Association of Bank of Singapore dinner. And the guest of honor is S.M. Taman, okay? And a lot of people are joking that confirmed Fu Shu in for president next, right? Even the MC of the evening was trying to be funny. They came on stage, give a serious speech. At the end of it, ask him a question. Right? They asked S.M. Taman and said, probably this is the last time we call you S.M. So they asked him 2 questions, right? Will you miss your previous job, i.e. his current role as an S.M.? And then they also asked him, what are you going to do to prepare yourself for your next role? Taman being Taman, that's why he's my hero. He's quite cool. He just said, of course I missed whatever in the past. He said that he used to be a sportsman. So he said, of course I miss those days when I'm young, I can run around and do all the activities that I want. I miss all those things. And then to lead on to the question I asked about how I'm going to prepare for the next role, he says, very simple. His philosophy in life is that, I'm not going to think about that. I will do everything the best I can do today so that tomorrow when I look back today, I miss what I have achieved today. I thought it was such simple facts and truth that some of us just cannot understand it. That we either, the majority of us, either continue to live in the good old day in the past or continue to dream about things that are totally not attainable in the future. How many of us can put hand to heart to say that every day I wake up, I want to do the best of today, what the Lord asked me to do, without thinking anything else. So that tomorrow I look back, I will miss what I achieved today. And I'm going to bring you to this beautiful verse in the Bible, Psalm 118:24. This is a beautiful psalm. It's a song that I sang when I grew up as a kid. Right? It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Right? A lot of us grew up singing the song, this is the day, right? We need to understand every single day is what the Lord has made. The Lord has made every day beautiful for all of us. Why? Because the peace of God is with us. Why? Because God is our anchor. Why? Because the Lord has given us the power to do things that he wants us to achieve. Even I alluded to just before we start the service, talking about the mandate that the Lord spoke to me just now. That was the mandate that the Lord has given to us. And we should be excited from this day onward. We live the mandate, we live the dream that every day I want to do that. I want to get close to God. Perhaps S.N. Thaman, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not, he truly understands what Psalm 118:24 is all about. For every day is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Do not, like what Mr. Goh always say, like Bao Qing Tian, your tongue's on the floor, right? Because there's something to live for. And just to bring back another reference, some of you are too young, I watched this movie by Robin Williams, Dead Poets Society. I think it's a famous verse. He was encouraging all his students. He whole day, whole night, recite this poem by this guy called, whatever his name, Henry David Thoreau. And the poem said, I did not wish to live what was not life. The poem said that I do not want to live a life that was not life. Living is so dear, nor did I wish to practice resignation unless it was quite necessary. Okay, that's what the poem say. And it said, I wanted to live deep and suck out all the marrows of life. Wow, it's very aggressive. I want to suck out all the marrows of life. And then Robin Williams was encouraging his student. I said, carpe diem. Okay, my friend, seize the day, boys. Make your life extraordinary. When I was young, I was watching a movie. I was so inspired. I said, how I wish all my teachers thought like that. Seize the day. And today, the word of the Lord to all of us is that, seize the day. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be joy, rejoice, be glad, fix our eye on Jesus, because there is a greater mandate. There is a dream to come that Daniel alluded to. We're going to talk about a series about dream, the dream that the Lord has given to us, and the peace that surpasses all understanding, the Lord will give it to us. Grab it with both hands, right? So the first aspect of shalom, other than peace, you understand now that it's about health. The Lord wants to give us health. The Lord wants to extend our days on this earth to give us strong, healthy, physically, mentally, emotionally. And the secret to it is Psalm 118:24, that we recognize that this is the day that the Lord has made, okay? And the second aspect of peace is actually justice and righteousness, okay? So peace is not so much only just, okay, relax, chill, okay? Long life, longevity, healthy, everybody very happy, right? In fact, if we go to the book of Psalm 85, verse 10 to 13, it says here, mercy and truth have met together. So mercy and truth have met together. The next word says that righteousness and peace have kissed. So righteousness and peace have come together. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footstep our pathway. So, what the psalmist is trying to say is that there is no peace in the absence of righteousness. Okay? Because peace and righteousness come together, so much as truth and mercy come together. In Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1 to 3, the Lord says that for Zion's sake, i.e. for all our sake, I will not hold back my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. So the Lord says that I will not withhold my peace until her righteousness go forth as brightness and her salvation as the lamb that burns. So that is God's desire. God's desire basically says that I want you guys to continue to pursue righteousness so that my peace will continue to prevail until you seek righteousness all the day of your life. So peace also talk about there must be righteousness. But at the same time, as I alluded earlier, peace is not just a state of inactivity. You know? Peace doesn't mean you just sit there, nothing. You look at all the things that's happening around you, you're super zen because you are okay. Your life is fine, but someone else behind you all falling apart, people are dying, you don't care. It's not that. But peace also doesn't mean that you are a tyrant, right? Like a dictator, right? I created this atmosphere. So I don't care whether you like it or not. Everybody will live by this. And then on the surface, everything looks very peaceful. There's no rebel. Everybody do what they have to do. That is also not peace. And what is peace? If you can turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 33, verse 17 to 19, this is what I call the effects of righteousness. And this is the definition of peace. And what is that? Isaiah 32, verse 17 says that the work of righteousness will be peace. Okay? Peace come about because there's a work of righteousness. And the effect of righteousness is what? It's quietness and assurance forever. Quietness, i.e. you are so calm, but at the same time, there's a great assurance in knowing that you're doing the right thing, being righteous in God. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwelling, and in quiet resting places. Though, so see the next word is interesting, right? The Lord described a very peaceful, very serene, everything is nice. He said, my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwelling, in a quiet resting place. Though hail come down on the forest and the city is brought low in humiliation. Go back and read Isaiah 20 times over. Like Buddhists ask you to recite the chant again and again and again. The word of the Lord says that you pursue righteousness, there is security, but at the same time, bear in mind that there will be hail coming down on the forest and the city is brought low in humiliation. I.e., in the pursuit of righteousness, there will be pain, there will be disaster, there shall be friction. So peace is not just in the absence of conflicts or problem. But the peace comes about knowing that you are doing the right thing. And that is what I meant by the effect of righteousness, and that is the effect of peace is all about. So there's something that I think, in fact, we think just 2 months ago, we just studied the book of Micah 6:8, right? The word of the Lord said, you old man, you know what's good, is to do justly. The word of the Lord said, do justly. If there's something that you saw, something that's not wrong, not in the office, being toxic, someone being bullied, do you choose to keep quiet so that you maintain peace, or you do the right thing? Okay? You can have peace, honestly. You can just go to your corner, do your work, and have a little peace, and meanwhile you see your colleague suffering, or you see someone in dire needs of financial help. You just pretend don't hear anything. You say, okay, everything is fine with me. Next month I'm going to bring my family for holidays. I shall be very peaceful. And ignoring all the sufferings of your fellow friends and colleagues. That is not peace. And that's not righteousness. So this is something that I think the Lord's words is very strong, that there shall be no peace until I see all your pursue righteousness. But guys, be careful. Pursuing righteousness doesn't mean you become bad man and become a vigilante, right? Go and right the wrong and do whatever you want. Because the word of the law also says that vengeance is mine. You shall not seek vengeance. Vengeance is a lot of time because of a selfish desire, right? You must learn to know that the Lord says that even in your pursuit of all this righteousness, hail will come down, city will be torn down, but you continue to stay close to God and tell God that if the righteous God exact vengeance, you continue to pray. You continue to do what you have to support your fellow colleagues and friends or family members, right? So this is the second aspect of peace and shalom that I want to bring to your attention. The next aspect of it, which I like a lot, shalom also talk about hope, okay? Shalom is not so much about just peace, pursuing righteousness, give you long life and good health. Shalom also, when you greet someone shalom, you're actually greeting someone to say there is great hope behind it. The name of the Lord carries a great hope, okay? So, in fact, you go to book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse 10. This is great old Jacob. He was talking to all his son and tell this son should do this, do that, do this, do that, do that, do that. Before he go, his parting message to his children is that he says that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, S-H-I-L-O-H. And according to what I studied, Shiloh, it means is the one who will bring peace. The one. We all know who the one is, right? And Shiloh, until Shiloh come, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. So Jacob was telling his children, oh, you, this tribe, this tribe, this tribe, you have a strong, your weaknesses, you'll go through some trial and tribulation. But until the one who's going to bring peace, which is God himself, he will come. And then when the ultimate peace in you will learn obedience to God. And this is when Jacob was giving all the children the hope that's going to come. In fact, the next verse is something that I learned a lot from Brother Gunn here, which is a verse that a lot of us are very familiar with, Jeremiah 29:11, right? I think all of us can recite that. It says that, "For I know the thought that I think towards you, says the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, and to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah 29:11 was addressed to the children when they are going into captivity for the next few hundred years. It's not immediate. When Jeremiah prophesies that word, when it says that the thought of the Lord is to of peace and of not evil, and to give you a future and a hope, it's truly to give a future and a hope. In the midst of all this tribulation and all the captivities that you're going through, there is a hope. The Lord is affirming the children of Israel, regardless of what is happening. Even we talked about previously on righteousness, hailstone come down to the forest, there is a hope. And the hope is going to come in the form of Jesus Christ. And this is a verse that just now, even in the prayer slide, it came out. It was in Isaiah 9:6. It was prophesied of the coming of Christ. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and lastly, but not least, the Prince of Peace, Shalom." So, the Shalom is a hope that God has given to us. And all of us are privileged to live in a generation that we know the hope, the Shalom, Christ has came. We know that. We know that he lived in our midst. Even he hang on the cross after 3 days resurrected, and he is a living God that lives among us. So it's more than a hope. We are even more privileged than those children those days. They have yet to see that, but we experience that. The hope is now living in all of us here. So today I'm going to say Shalom to you. I'm telling you that there's a great hope whatever situation you're in, whatever difficulty they're in, whatever oppression that you're going through, whatever struggle that you have, the Prince of Peace is living among us. The Messiah is living among us. So Shalom to you, because there's great hope. The last aspect, well, today's super short. Okay? Mr. Goh will be very proud of me. The fourth aspect of Shalom is talking about wholeness, completeness, restoration of everything that you have lost or whatever has been taken from you. We just went through the book of Exodus. If you go through Exodus chapter 21 to 22, there's a whole series of instruction, okay? It talks about human-to-human relationship, master and slave, and the slave and to the slave and all this. Then it extends to animal cruelty, you know? Even talk about if your neighbor's dog bite you, you can put the dog to death, something like that. And then it goes on to extend to about property. Whoever leaves someone a house or you let someone use a house, the law is so prescriptive, it's all about moral and ceremonial principle. You read through chapter 21, 22, there are about 14 incidents that talk about restoration, okay? Whatever thing that has been broken or everything that's not right, it's all about restoration and make it whole. And this is what part of what peace is all about. And the reason why this is so important, the Shalom meanings of it, and we all know that back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden, people were living in a perfect world, Adam and Eve. Until sin came, things are broken. And sin take away the completeness that the Lord has originally installed for all of us. And since then, we've always been separated from the Lord. And which is why the name Jehovah Shalom is so important, because it carries the meaning of restoration. The Lord wants to remind all of us that whatever the sin has taken away from you, whatever that has been broken from your life, I want to restore it. I want to make it whole. I want to make it complete. I want to make it a Shalom for you, right? We were just reading through Isaiah 9:6, talking about the coming of Christ. The government will be on his shoulder. He shall be called Counselor, Wonderful, the Prince of Peace, right? This is the God that we have today. And this is the God that is going to restore whatever sin has taken away from us. And in fact, there was this verse in Romans 5, verse 1 to 2. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have had peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are all justified by faith. You are here today, it's because of faith. Why I say that? Because we don't see a God that's standing on the stage here, or when Moses on the mountain, thunderstorm and lightning, or the burning bush, you don't. But despite the absence of all that, you are all here in these congregations worshipping an unseen God. It's because of your faith. And therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. So today, we can have that hope. We have that hope of restoration and completeness because we have faith. And the Lord say that we are all justified by faith. So I just want to have a message to some of us here, right? Don't let sin deprive you of joy in your life. Don't let the office politics deprive you of your joy at your workplace. That you become so miserable every day you go to office, you just think about all this complexity, the human issue and the politics, then you forget about the work that the Lord has asked you to do. I think I talked about it before, right? God himself ordained work. God wants us to work. In fact, in the Garden of Eden, it's so clear. You tell Adam, you've got to tend the ground. And then you shall eat from the fruits from the ground. So work is something that God wants us to do so that we appreciate, we learn how to grow even closer to God. But if today, because of the politics, because of your relationship or colleagues, deprive you of the joy that you can't work with great joy in the office, I have great hope for you today. The Lord wants to restore it. The Lord wants to make it whole. All that he asks of you is to come back to him. Remember his commandment. Stay close to him. Make this day a beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. You keep telling yourself. The Lord has created this day for you, right? Don't let all these things take away your joy. Or if some of us among us has a broken relationship, maybe with your children, with your spouse, or with your parents, right? The brokenness comes from sin. Sin is the one that caused the brokenness and caused the inadequacy and the unhappiness in our life. And whatever sin has taken away from us, the God, the Jehovah Shalom, want to make it whole so that we can have peace. We have that understanding and know that Jehovah Shalom is our God. So with that, so these are basically the four points that I just want to expand on, the meaning of Shalom. As I say, if you continue to read the Bible, there are many, many different interpretations of what Shalom is all about. And I want to encourage you to go and research and study. If anything, I felt such great honor and privilege to stand here and talk because it is through this I'm able to read and study and discover the wonders of God's word. And as you continue to study and read more, you crave more of the glory and what God wants to tell us, right? And I just want to close up with, again, I'm not a very learned man. I'm unlike Mr. Goh, like to read books and all this. So I always go and copy someone else's quote and make myself look quite smart, right? Actually, it's not me. There was this guy called Cornelius Pentinga. He's supposed to be some scholar in some theological school, right? He actually talked about the definition of Shalom, which I thought was quite interesting. Right? He said, in the Bible, Shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight. Okay, it's a very wholesome thing, right? Everything is nice, flourishing, is wholeness, is delight. A rich state of affair in which natural needs are satisfied. Natural needs is what? Your Maslow theory, lah. You need to have clothes to wear, you need food to eat, your salary to pay, whatever that you need, right? So everything are being satisfied. And the natural gift fruitfully employed. What is the natural gift? Natural gift is what the Lord has given to us. Each and every one of us has a special gift that you fully and fruitfully employ it. Don't let it hide under the lamp and table. When the Lord said, remember the servants, the parables about the servant, right? You gave one talent, two talent, and 10 talents, right? Don't hide it underground. Whatever talent the Lord gave it to you, fully exploit it, right? And the state of affair that inspires joy, wonder as his creator and savior opens door and welcome the creature in whom he delight. And I like the parting shot. What it means is shalom, in other words, is the way that things ought to be. Quite cool, right? Natural thing. This is how we should live our life. Shalom is the way we should live our life. If you understand it, if you understand what it says, that we live in a stage that we, whatever basic need is being satisfied. Okay, don't go and crave for things that is beyond what is necessary. It's good to have some craving, yes, but don't let that eat into your life. Let that break your relationship, take away your joy. And don't let that take your eyes away from doing righteousness. At the same time, the Lord has given each and every one of us special talent. Very unique and special talent. Go and fully develop it. And always say, this is the day the Lord has given to me. I want to rejoice in it. I'm not going to care about what people gossip about me. I'm not going to care about what is going to come. I just want to do the best that I can. And like S.M. Taman says, so that tomorrow I look back, I will miss what I have achieved today. Right? This is some, and at the end of the day, it's really what it ought to be. In fact, this is what I will call the Edens on earth. In the Garden of Eden, when the Lord created them, this is how things ought to be. You live in peace, you do your work, you work hard, you produce the fruits, and you offer to the Lord. At the same time, you live in the presence of the Lord. You know God walked in the gardens with you. You know that the Lord God is the one who looks after you. So the shalom of peace will be with you. So brother and sister, I hope today's message kind of energize all of us here to let us understand that the name of the Lord is indeed wonderful. That every may be Nisi, may be Rohi, may be Shalom. It truly talks about the character of God. It talks about the heartbeat of what God has meant for all of us. If we truly understand what it's all about, right? And I hope for the next two sessions before we close out the name of the Lord, Don't take this as just a passing message that you just hear and then move on. Let it be imprinted in your heart that every time you think about God, you think about His character, you think about Him being a shepherd, you think about He's the one who you consecrate you from sin and set you apart. You think about God as your healer of your life. You think about God being the Prince of Peace. And then I think then as you understand that, then you really understand what some talk about, that this is the day that the Lord has made. The Lord has made every day unique. The Lord wants us to rejoice and be glad in it, because this is what the way things ought to be. So I hope this will kind of sum up what I have to say today. Very short. The word is succinct, straight to the point. Self-phrase. Because I have peace of God with me, and I hope the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you.
Mike, thank you. Wow, 5:40. Illegal to end so early. Can you look at Judges 6, please? I think that's the starting point of what we always talk about, right? The altar. When we talk about the name, it's an altar that was established, and I want to just revisit that, and then I think we'll close. And then Esther will just come forward. If you look at Judges 6, go with me to Gideon. Now, number one, I think we talked about this. I remember doing this about a few months back. You go to Gideon, look at 6:11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the clan of Abiezer. Gideon the son was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press. Why? Because he's hiding the grain from the Midianites. They were at war, and the Midianites were the terrible people that were going to oppress the people of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Question: at that time, was Gideon a mighty hero? He was a bloody coward. Why? Because he was hiding, he was threshing wheat, but he's a coward. He was hiding the grain from the Midianites. Sir, Gideon replied, "If the Lord is with us, why have all this happened to us?" And so forth. All the usual whining. Remember, this sounds a bit like the Israelites who whined and when Moses parted the sea for them and they got out, right? So human beings are always complaining and so forth. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites." Again, I want to tell you something. All these characters used by God, there's some weakness in them inherent. But God will use people like that. God specializes and uses people who've got weaknesses. God used Gideon. God used Moses. You see a threat, all of them, why me, God? Moses will say, I can't even speak, I've got faltering lips. And then Gideon will say, I'm the weakest one, you know. My clan, he says, is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. I'm the least in my family. Number one, my clan is very weak. And then in my family, I'm the weakest. Like maybe Angela tell me, number one, my clan very weak. And then I'm the youngest in the family. But God says to you, I will be with you. And you will destroy the Midianites as you are fighting against men. Gideon asked for a sign that this is God for him. I'll skip all those. And then God actually tolerated Gideon and says, okay, it's all right. Verse 23, the Lord replied, do not be afraid, you will not die. And then Gideon built an altar to the Lord and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. And the altar remains an Ophrah, the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day. I can give you some more illustrations of what happened to Gideon after that. I think we went through that last time. Judges 7, Judges 8, Gideon started to develop. Gideon, after that, was the one who, remember, Sabrina, Gideon needed an army to go and fight the Midianites, right? I think he started with five figures, 22,000, dropped to 10,000. God still cannot, and say, no, I only give you 300. And Gideon didn't protest. This is the coward. Gideon says, okay, I'll do it. No protest, but God was going to do it through Gideon. And after that, you see Gideon develop. And after that, when there was a need for his soldiers to be taken care of, some people that he wanted to request for food and accommodation and so forth didn't help. He was the one who said, okay, I'll remember you. After that, he fought these people and some of them were destroyed because Gideon had risen up to be a mighty warrior. But I want to just leave a thought with you. Even as we talk about this, I think Isaiah 9:6, right? God is the Messiah, is the Prince of what? Alex, the Prince of Peace, correct? And if you read, I think it's Daniel 8:25, my memory serves me right. God is the Prince of Peace, but God is also the Prince of Princes. Just like we say God is the God of Gods, the Lord of Lords, He is also the Prince of Princes. If you can tell me that He's the Prince of Princes, what does that tell you? There are a lot of princes, right? Correct? A lot of princes. Who's the Prince of this world? Anybody? Who's the Prince of this world? Who? Silas? Daniel? The devil. So you've got a choice. You either go to the Prince of Peace or the Prince of Darkness, who's the Prince of this world. You have a choice. And if the Prince of this world is not our God, but that guy, Satan, do you expect peace in this world? Think. Do you expect peace? But despite of you not expecting peace, God is the God of peace. So you've got to get this right, you know. It doesn't mean that everything will be fine. Yes, I like the human flourishing part. That's absolutely true. But all of us will have to fight the war. That is why Gideon had to do what he had to do. God will give you assignments and there's a need for you to rise up. So I've got I want to end with this. So when you talk about shalom, I just want to ask very simply. So Shireen, when I ask you shalom, I said, hiya, shalom, or shalom. Which one sounds a bit more according to the definition? Jun? Hi, shalom, how are you? Or shalom, peace of God with you. What do you think? Is it the earlier version or the louder version, the more aggressive one? Anybody thinks the hello, shalom one or the shalom, peace of God? Which one? Earlier version, when you greet someone, Winnie, if I see you, oh, Gong Xi Fa Cai, or Gong Xi Fa Cai. Which one? Which one? The first, who says the first version? The shalom, the lighter version. It's not right or wrong, just asking. Straw poll. Who says shalom, the lighter one, sound like the nanny pammy one? Or the louder, harder version? Which one? Louder one, right? Don't you think? It doesn't mean that God don't like us. You know? But in this world, He's not the Prince. Guys, wake up. The Prince of this world is not God, no. The Prince of this world is the devil. But God is, at the end of the day, the victor is victorious. Now, when you have problems and you know that the Prince of this world is the Prince of Darkness, I think it frames the kind of things we need to deal with in this life. This is a church that came up with an altered version of the Apostles' Creed. This is for the, I suppose, to accommodate the LGBT people. This is what it reads. I believe in the non-binary God whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, the child who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints as numerous creative and resilient as patches on the AIDS quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling to each of us that love is love is love. So, beloved, let us love. I believe, glorious God, help my unbelief. Amen. This from apparently a church, a Lutheran denomination, I suppose in the process of trying to be accommodative and to be inclusive. So who's in charge in this world? Are sound doctrines being challenged? Do we stand there or do we take a position? And yet, know that God is the God of peace. Something to think about. But I want to encourage us, just like Gideon. He was damn scared, but God encouraged along the way. And in Judges 7, we'll read it for yourself. Then the Spirit of God came upon him. Gideon became powerful. But he had to take a stand. He had to fight. Some people don't understand you need to fight. Even if you don't fight, the fellow's going to come and fight you. Have you got... Last time, kena bully before, Jordan. Look at you, cannot be. I kena bully before. So, kena bully means, right? Da wei, I want to bully you. You run away from me, right? I will still come after you. You must fight, right? I remember kena bully in the child, taking one of my sisters. Yeah, I used to be kena bully, you know. The fella take me and put me in the rubbish dump. Carry me. Basket, the fella. Took me and put me in the rubbish dump. Then I just quite go home. Lucky I didn't become depressed. Or do we fight? We say, God, I will take a stand for what you stand for. And then God says, I am the God of peace. I'm with you. Shalom, the God of peace. He will be with us. So when we fight, I told people who like to drink, please the maker, I told them, please the maker and be merry. Can you really please God and also be merry, have a good time? Can we still please the Maker, be merry despite all the things that are happening and still enjoy life? If everything also you take it upon yourself and then the monkey's on your back, you can't get it out of your system and then exactly what Silas said, you become Pao Ching Tian and then your face is all black and then your tongue is rolling on the carpet all the time. Or do we say, God, I will retain my joy, I will fight the good fight, which is why we always say, right, how many people every time they die will say, I'll fight the good fight. Isn't that true? Before gun goes, I will fight the good fight. I have given my best. I will do what God has asked us to do. And with all that, the God of peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That, I think, is needed. Can we pray? Even as we come and worship the Lord. Can we stand? Do we have the lyrics, do we?
I think we have.
It doesn't matter. It's the simple song. Those of a certain age should know how to sing. Don't know how to sing, never mind. Just pretend you know how to sing. But I'm sure you can catch on. What's the song? He's Our Peace. He's Our Peace that broken down every war. Winnie of a certain age should know. Even your sister-in-law Jolene should know. He's Our Peace, know, right? Who don't know? Everybody knows. If not, just... And Father, thank you. Some people who have got difficult situations. I have a case next week. Wow, damn difficult. Some major accident. Maybe you know which one. And I got to sort it out. I have a lot of emotions to deal with. No peace. But I got to pray for God's peace. Maybe some of you have no peace because there's some things that are affecting you. Maybe finances or just something that's gnawing at your spirit. Will you just come? And the Prince, not of this world, but the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Princes, can meet you at your time need. So before we begin to sing and declare His Our Peace, there's something that's bothering you, just bring it before the Lord. Could be your children's education, could be your children's physical condition, not sure what lies ahead. Could be your career, you don't know, you can't see where you're going. Will you come before the Lord? Begin to pray to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Spend a couple of minutes, couple of seconds, and just bring the situation before the Lord. Sing to the Lord, He's our peace.
He is our peace, who has broken down every wall.
Declare He's our peace, Shalom.
He is our peace. He is our peace. He's our peace.
Bring problem before the Lord. Cast your cares on Him.
Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace.
Sisters, you sing, He's our peace, who is broken down.
Our peace. He is our peace.
service to an end, lift your hands before the Lord. Cast your cares.
Cast all your cares on Him as He cares for you. Cause He cares for you.
He's our peace.
He is our peace.
He is our peace.
He is our
peace. Cast your cares on Him.
Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace.
Cast your cares on Him.
He is our peace.
Cast your cares on Him.
Your cares on Him. For you, He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you.
A service to an end, I'm reminded, you know, God will not ask you to do something that you can do simply or without effort. I always pray for myself, not that I'm trying to tekan myself. I always pray, God, don't let me do something that costs me nothing. I want to do something that costs me something. You understand? And if that is true, then God will ask you to do something that will cost you something. If it's a simple thing, you do for what? But when you do something difficult like Gideon, there must be a step of faith. You must listen to God and then you must obey. And some of us, I feel today, there's some things you need to do and God is already telling you to do it, but you're just damn, you just don't want to do it. And God is speaking to you right now. Is that somebody you, some things you just need to do it, but you're just not subservient, you're not obedient to God. If there's somebody you, I'm not judging you, I myself have problems. Some, a lot of things I don't feel like doing, please. But God says do, then no choice, right? The Hokkien Bible will say, Gideon, I just have to do it because God has called. Is that somebody you? Is that something that God's called you without you looking around? I want to pray every service and end. The God of peace will prompt you, will give you peace. Shalom. Peace is not the absence of war, but peace is knowing that the Prince of Peace, who has triumphed over the Prince of Darkness, who has triumphed over the Prince of the world, He is going to help you. So I want to just bring the service to an end. If it's a time for you to respond, can you just lift your hands, your palms open, and I'll bring the service to an end. Father, thank you. Thank you for speaking to my brother or sister that somebody, that something that needs to be done. Lord, you have called them to do it. Lord, give them conviction. Give them courage. Give them the desire. So Father, we pray that, Lord, our life will be worth something as we approach the end of our times. Father, release anointing so that my brother or sister will do the work of this kingdom and do it with joy, knowing it's a challenge, but knowing that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard their heart, the hearts and mind in the name of Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, the Lord bless you. The Lord's peace be upon you. I speak shalom, peace upon you, so that you do the work of the kingdom, pushing back darkness so that the kingdom of light will come forth. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.